What's up, everybody, and welcome to What's the Call podcast. We are back at you. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron.
Yeah, I'm Chuck.
I'm Dimitri.
Welcome back. Welcome. We got an oldie but a new episode type of format for you. We're going to bring it back to the old school. Shout outs and RIPs. We figured, why not? Let's get a little nostalgic.
That's right.
Chuck, do you want to start us off with anything? Anything red hot?
Red hot. You know who's red hot? My new favorite Met, Daniel Vogelbach. Everybody slept on this trade a couple weeks ago, probably because this man looks like a walrus trying to play baseball. And he only came in bad like 220. And he's crushing for the Mets. What are they, 8-1 now with him on the team? Got two home runs today? One home run.
Yeah, one today. We had a grand slam yesterday.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. I think he just fits this team. You know, it was a small trade. I know they gave up, you know, a pretty decent reliever that a lot of Met fans seem to like, but I think it's looking good. I think they found a guy that fits this team, and I think that's what this team needs. Or not needs. I think that's a strong point, is chemistry.
I have to agree.
I thought it was an RIP. I thought you said RIP though.
I'm sorry, that was my shout out.
Okay.
Shout out. I think what he meant to say was that he felt that a lot of Mets fans thought it was going to be an RIP, but so far it's looking like a shout out.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Yeah, because I think Mets fans, you know, didn't like what happened at the trade deadline. We didn't make any real big moves. But then we also didn't really change the team much, which to me was fine. I feel like we didn't really need to change the team too much. The only guys I really wanted to see move was Dom Smith and J.D. Davis. And J.D. Davis did get moved. And, like, that's it. I don't think we needed to blow everything up for Juan Soto or do anything major. The team's doing very well right now. They have great chemistry. It's fine. Let's just keep it going.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree. Yeah. Do you have any RIPs then, or do you want to wait to?
Let's.
We all hit our shout outs. How are you feeling?
I'll keep going. I have two RIPs. One, about 101 years later. Right. No, about 103 years later. RIP to the 1919 Chicago White Sox, aka the Chicago Black Sox. It was about 101 years ago today is when their court date ended. That's why I'm bringing it up now. They didn't get charged anything legally. Legally, they got no trouble. So just a little background, 8 players on the Chicago White Sox who were heavily favored to win the World Series that year against the Cincinnati Reds. Worked with some of the mobsters at the time in Chicago, worked with a couple of gambling rings, and agreed to throw the World Series for a total of $80,000, which in today's money is worth about $850,000. There's 10 guys, they're all going to basically split it. After the first game, they were supposed to get $20,000. The gamblers didn't pay them. After the second game, they tracked them down and said, hey, we threw 2 games now, and very obviously threw these games too, by the way. The gamblers gave them $10,000, and then the players decided, well, forget that, you're not giving us the rest, and tried to actually come back and win the World Series. They won a couple of games, but ended up losing to the Reds. The Reds won, everyone moved on with their lives. But a couple months later, rumors started coming out. A year or two later, MLB got a new commissioner. The first ever commissioner in the MLB, Kenzie Mountain Landis, was his real name, his birth name, his Christian name, as they say. And he suspended all 8 of them for life. And that rule is still on the books, really. That's why guys like Pete Rose are still banned for life from the MLB. Because this rule that they made in 1919 for the Chicago White Sox, and the player who bets on the game, banned for life.
Ooh.
Now I gotta ask you guys, they would have split probably about $10,000 each, which equivalent to about $120,000 or so in today's money. Would you jeopardize your major league career for $120,000?
Today's climate, no.
Well, that all depends.
It was $120 million.
It literally all depends. It depends how good I am, if you just give me 3 months. But, like, you see how far you're projected to go. Like, if you have to, you're, like, hitting your mid-30s. You might take that money. You know? Well,
the one thing in the player's defense, almost, at the time, you weren't allowed to change teams. There's no free agency. So whatever team signed you, that was the deal you had, and that's the money you made. Mm-hmm. So these guys weren't making anywhere close to what they make today, even with inflation.
And they probably didn't make that, like,
playing.
So they mm-hmm.
So it was worth it for them.
It definitely was worth it.
It would have been had they not been caught.
But there was, like, there was no legal action, so they got to keep the money, no?
That's like saying...
Well, they never got the money. The gamblers never gave... They only gave them $10,000 of the money. So they never really got the money. They never got to play again. And yes, they didn't go to jail for it, but now they're forever remembered as...
If it was guaranteed that I was actually going to get the money, like, for sure guaranteed, like Demetri said, it depends on your placement. If you're a star player, then you could probably make more, then no. But I'm sure back then, most players would play, retired, and they'd work, you know, a 9-to-5.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're a relief pitcher, say you're a relief pitcher, you're earning $2-3 million a year. And some mobster comes up to you and says, you know what? I'll give you $100 million if you do this. Every time you win, you just gotta give it up. That's a significant amount.
I would say like out of like 10 players, like half of them would probably do it.
Yeah, I would think so too. Like if you're only making $3 million a year, $100 million is a lot to turn down.
I think it would happen more in like football for some reason because of like the shelf life anyways of football. I feel like it would be not easier to do it, but if we're talking strictly baseball, I would say it's probably easier now to throw a game in baseball today, because think about like how often, like if you're on offense, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's striking out so much anyways, no one would bat an eye that you're like purposely striking out. Right. You know what I mean? Like if you're a pitcher, pitchers don't pitch like a 2 ERA anymore. Like so many, like after like you get to like the first, like the top like 15, 20 pitchers in baseball, all of everyone else, like in the rotation, everyone else is like a 4 ERA guy. So it's really easy to like just appear like you don't know it, like you can't, like you don't have it. I think, especially if you're an everyday player, you could definitely just strike out every time and no one would bat an eye. Maybe occasionally get a hit just to like keep it, you know, keep it kosher, but ground these guys are, like these guys are skilled. They know how to like put the ball in play if they really wanted to. Mm-hmm. So I think it's much easier now. I'm sure back then it was like, I don't know why I feel like it maybe wouldn't have been as easy, but.
Well, you figure there were less people watching back then. You know, games weren't televised. Stats weren't broadcasted all around, so you know.
Mm-hmm. Like at least offense wise, the strikeouts would help. Like no, like I think they said today, like the Mets and Braves game, the Braves team as a total has 980 strikeouts. They're the most in the National League. If the Braves were to like, you know, someone came up and Elon Musk was like, "Hey, I'm gonna give you this too, just for my amusement," and they do it, they wouldn't bat an eye. I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, my other RIP. This one came off weird. So you guys know me, I like European soccer. The team I root for in Italy is Napoli. And the other day, their club president, who you know makes all of the you know soccer decisions, Aurelio Di Lauritas. That's definitely how he pronounces it.
I think that was perfect.
I love how you never practice these names that you try to say.
Spot on.
Like
I could practice that and not gotten it.
But you know you're gonna bring it up. Like you could have to like a 1 minute Google search research to figure out how to like trans, like how it's supposed to sound phonetically.
Anyway,
go ahead.
He came out and said, it's a bad sound clip. But he basically said he doesn't want to sign any more African players or South American players. He then came back and said, oh, it's because of all their international tournaments. He doesn't want them playing for their national teams during the season when these guys leave and playing World Cup qualifiers, different tournaments, you know, the African Cup of Nations, the South American Cup, things like that, and international friendlies and all that. That's what he was saying. He doesn't want them missing games during the season to go play for their national teams. Just doesn't look right when you come out and say, as the president of an Italian club, you don't want to sign any brown or black players. In a way, I kind of get what he means, but also how are you going to attract these big star players and then tell them, or how are you supposed to attract big star players when you tell them not to play for their national teams? Like, if you want some of the best players, they're going to be playing for their national teams. Like, you know,
well, that's the problem with soccer. It's like 800 championships randomly. There's so many different leagues. There's so much happening. That's what's going to happen.
They need to organize it better.
Oh, FIFA's not a good organization? Since when? Yes, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. They do need to organize it better. But sometimes it's a little tough because in these different countries, there's different climates, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you can't always play at the same time.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, I also get what he meant too, but it sounds crazy when you say it like that.
Yeah, not the best sound clip.
Like where was the PR like prior to the release? Like who screened this, you know what I mean, before it was published?
Yeah. I think it was on a press conference.
That's like Ted Lasso. So that's like a Ted Lasso bit that like went off the rails. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
And in news that just surprised nobody, Iman Shumpert got arrested over the weekend.
What does that mean?
Iman Shumpert is always, he got arrested for what he got arrested for. Not the fact that he got arrested, but he got arrested for trying to bring 6 ounces of weed on the plane in Dallas, Texas.
As Brittany Griner not taught us anything.
That, right? Man, he could have, he would have gotten so many years in Russia.
We'll get to that later, though.
We will get to that later.
All right. I have a shout out, I guess. Tiger Woods turned down the $700 to $800 million from Live Golf. I mean,
that also an RIP. That's a double. If I'm,
I mean, I don't know. I think he has morals. He's showing he can do the right thing. I don't know. It might be a little bit.
You know, Dimitri, I'm with you. I'm glad he didn't go.
Yeah.
Makes two of you. I'm not in on that. I don't agree.
Wait, you're going to go watch? You're watching Liv?
100%. What do I care? Well, what does it matter to me?
Do you even watch the regular golf?
I watch when it's like, you know, the big like open and stuff. Like I watch that. Okay. Not like on a day to day, no.
Yeah,
when it's
no, like, I'm with you there.
When it's the big events that I do. But I mean, is the issue because of the blood money? You know how many things we consume on a daily basis that is related to like
it's true.
Yeah. All that stuff on the back end? That we don't even know about, all the conglomerates that we just, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what do I care? If someone's throwing me $700 to $800 million to fucking swing a golf club and I'm not even as good as I used to be, I'm doing it.
Yeah,
he's not honestly, even good anymore.
I think that's they know he's going to get the views, the TV views.
Unless if he's like worried that he's going to get blackballed, like, you know, like Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, like players like that were like obviously like the best players possibly ever to play the game because of one little thing that blackballed. Yes. I feel like maybe that's what he is, because his image has completely changed from what it was 10 years ago. So he's already like back in the good graces. So I feel like maybe that could be a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't want to like teeter the seesaw too much.
And I'm sure he got $700 million. So for him, all right.
Now, does golf have a Hall of Fame? I'm sure it does, right?
Sure.
Do they get paid out like MLB and NBA and stuff like that?
I don't know, because a lot of those guys play until like they're well over like a retirement age. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I still see random videos of Jack Nicklaus hitting like random like aces. I saw a video the other day. I think it was Jack Nicklaus. Might have been someone else. But like someone like that. And he was on the other side of like a highway and hit a golf ball over the highway to like a football field nearby or something like that. Like these guys play till God knows when. Like they as long as they're healthy, they're gonna play until it's like the wheels fall off. So I don't know if they have like that.
Okay, so there is a golf ball theme.
Tiger Woods was actually inducted last year into it.
Oh, so he's good. He's stupid then. They can't revoke it. Just go and play.
And Phil Mickelson is in it. And George H.W. Bush is in it.
I think I knew that for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, and so is Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Really?
That's right. That's all they're known for, their golf game.
Well, you know, our last president's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
He is. Shout out to DJT.
No, I'll take that back.
Yeah, he got Stone Cold Stunner at WrestleMania. I'll take that any day of the week.
Oh, and old Thomas Morris is old Tom Morris is in it too. What a great Hall of Fame. We should go to this one day.
The Hall of Fame for the presidents?
No. The Golf Hall of Fame featuring a young Tom Morris and old Tom Morris, both in it.
That's when they had wooden clubs.
Yeah. It's in Florida.
I'm good.
I think I'm good.
St. Augustine, Florida.
There's only three places in Florida at this
point. Yeah, we know one of them.
All right. And my RIP is a true RIP to the great, arguably one of the best players in NBA history, William Felton Russell. Passed away. I don't think we know what caused it.
I think it might have been natural causes. He was, I think, 88 when it happened, which is a very long time for somebody his height. Like, guys like that usually don't live that long.
Yeah. He had a 13-year career, won 11 championships, 12-time All-Star, went to the NBA Finals 12 times. That's insane. That is insane.
I know he only played 13 years. That is crazy.
But RIP just happened a couple days ago. I think it was on Sunday.
Yeah.
So RIP Bill Russell's.
I just want to give a shout out to one of the GOATs for coming back. After a year hiatus, we know him. We love him. Jacob DeGrom. The GOAT has returned. And, I mean, I'll tell you, it was electric. I was watching. The second batter he faced, he was throwing 102. And I was like, please don't get hurt, man. Please. I'm begging. I'm praying to the Lord. Please don't get hurt. So Jacob DeGrom is back. I'm excited to see. I can't wait to go to like a Friday, Saturday where it's like Scherzer pitches on Friday, DeGrom pitches Saturday. Oh man, I'm just hyped to say the least. An RIP to the Washington Nationals fan base, completely getting gutted after winning their championship. I mean, they lost Trey Turner, Anthony Rendon, Bryce Harper, Max Scherzer, and now most recently Juan Soto. And they basically lost Steven Strasburg too, because I mean he's just so hurt all the time that he's basically a done deal too. They lost Josh Bell too, but he wasn't there long. But they lost all their all-stars, and now they're currently the worst team in baseball at the moment. They're 36-71, something like that. So it's only going to get worse. I'm projecting they're going to only win 14 more games the rest of the season. You heard it here first. I'm projecting it. It's tough to watch. I feel bad for them, but hey, they got a championship. So, you know, you got a bunch of prospects in like 5 years might end up being stars. Mm-hmm. So hold your head up, Nationals fans.
He's saying that sarcastically.
No, I'm not. I feel for them because I know one day that's going to happen to us, and it happens to every team except for the Yankees, that they get gutted and they, you know, they come back. So I would say every team except for probably the Dodgers and the Yankees go through this.
The Marlins are the perfect example.
Perfect example. They did
both times.
Two championships, two times. They gutted and tried it all over. So it is what it is. So RIP to them. And since we're talking about baseball, should we get a little bit into the big moves in the trade deadline?
Before we get into that real quick, another big RIP in baseball. Vince Scully passed away the other day as well. He spent 67 seasons as the broadcaster for the LA Dodgers. 67 seasons doing that. That's a legend right there.
67 wild number.
One of the greatest to ever do it. He started with the team when they were in Brooklyn.
But did he start broadcasting when he was 10?
No, he stopped when he was like 90. He started in 1950 with the Brooklyn Dodgers. Didn't stop until the end of the 2016 season.
That's crazy.
I remember that game because I remember when all the Dodgers were getting hits and stuff that game. They kept like tipping their cap. Like I remember Yasiel Puig did it. I can't remember who else did it, but I remember they were like getting hits and they would like, or a big hit, and they would tip their hat to them. So I do remember, yeah, he was doing it really. 2016, sheesh.
And then, of course, the year after is when the Dodgers won the World Series.
That's how it goes sometimes, man. That's how it goes.
Yeah. So I know you definitely want to talk about baseball. So let's go talk some baseball.
MLB trade deadline just finished 2 days ago. The biggest move of the whole deadline was Juan Soto. The Nationals finally pulled the trigger and unloaded Juan Soto. And then they also threw in Josh Bell, which that one was a little bit like surprising. I didn't see that coming. Unloaded them to the Padres. And the Padres definitely feel like they have a window right now.
Yeah.
Because they just kind of gutted their farm system. And they're in a win now mode. Tatis is about to come back. They got Manny Machado having an MVP-like season. You throw in Soto, throw in Josh Bell. They picked up Brandon Drury from the Reds after he fixed his eye issue. He had, like, terrible vision. That's why he was struggling so much. Got his eyes corrected, and next thing you know, he could swing the bat again and actually make contact. So they picked up a lot, and they picked up Josh Hader, closer from the Brewers, right, who's one of the best closers in the game. They're going for it. They're still behind.
That's this guy?
That's Craig Kimbrel. Oh. But, yeah, they all have some weird get up to them. But they're still behind on the Dodgers, but I think they're going to make a push. I mean, they have to. You can't make a move like that and not make a push. They definitely don't want to be competing for a wild card.
No.
And they just signed an extension to Joe Musgrove, who is one of their star pitchers, gave him a 5-year, $100 million extension. So they're going all in right now.
They should be good for the next couple of years.
This is a good team.
Well, Machado's locked in for a long time. Tatis is locked in for a long time. Soto is locked in for another 2 years, which I think is so wild.
I thought it was three. It might be three
because he's young. So, but he's basically, they have him under control until he's like 26. And then he could either decide to stay or to sign a mega deal at 26 years old, which is probably, I don't think he's going to stay with the Padres. Unless they win. If they win, then that could change everything. But I don't know. They're locked in for a lot of guys for a long time. It has to work. If it doesn't work, then this is going to look like a bust. But they're saying it's possibly the biggest trade in MLB history.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. It is a big trade, don't get me wrong.
I mean, we ain't really going to know the dynamics of this trade until a couple, like 10 years from now, like back at it.
I think even within 5, we could kind of see where it's trending.
Well, it has to be done. No, within 3.
Yeah, within 3 years. They need a championship in 3 years, definitely.
Well, that and if he resigns. Aaron, is that what you were going
to
say?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If he decides to leave and they don't win anything in 3 years, then it looks bad.
I think they have to win in 3 years.
Not everybody can win.
And the toughest part is that they're in the same division as the Dodgers. I think that is the hardest part, is that no matter what, the Dodgers seem to, like, the last 10 years, they just always seem to be good. They draft well, they build their prospects correctly, and they also have the ability to sign the big bats. They sign Mookie Betts. Trey Turner, they could sign him, he might walk, but Freddie Freeman. They have a squad, and their pitching is insane. So it's like they still have a big hurdle to climb.
I think they might be the new Yankees.
100%. People want to play for the Dodgers. They have a championship the last couple of years. I think they have management that people want to be a part of.
It's all about the weather, man. It's all about the weather.
Probably.
People want to live in L.A. Sunny.
And San Diego's nice, too.
San Diego is nice, too. And I think San Diego might be technically the one of the richest cities in America.
Hey, I think it's nicer. I'd rather live there.
So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think in 3 years, if Soto walks and they don't win anything, that's a bust, man. It's a bust. I'm normally like a be positive, see how it goes, give it some time, but you have a small window, very small. You have like multiple superstars on your team.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to end up being like the Angels, the other team in California that doesn't know what they're doing. They have two, not one, but two possible generational talents. And I think today or yesterday, they hit 7 home runs in the game and still lost.
Yep.
This ain't the Angels franchise has to be the worst franchise in baseball. 100%. You can't have possibly arguably one, like on paper, like actually like the metrics and everything, possibly the greatest baseball player ever. If you look at like the metrics, I don't believe that, but they think like that type of statistic wise that he is Mike Trout, and then have someone who's like the second coming of like Babe Ruth being able to pitch at a dominant level and hit and lose constantly. It just doesn't make sense. And they just traded away their closer. They traded away Syndergaard.
I'm with you. I'm just trying apart to see if I can think of another MLB franchise that might be worse.
But think about what they have.
If
Mike Trout was with the Yankees, I guarantee the Yankees would have had at least 2 championships by now in his tenure in the MLB.
Mm.
And he was the same caliber player. You put him on that team. Okay. They would have had 2 already, because despite we'll talk about the Yankees in a second. They had a great trade deadline. You know, they find a way to constantly stay within, you know, the contention of the World Series. The Angels, they just need someone to help steer the
I think show. I might be with you on that. I think I can't off this out.
Because you have teams that are, like, built to be bad, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Pirates, a team that's built to build prospects and then eventually trade them. It just is what it is.
Well, once in a while, they sneak in.
Exactly.
Angels don't sneak nowhere.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah. They have constantly.
I don't. Just when's the last time they made the playoffs?
I think like 2015, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they got like destroyed immediately. Let me see. When's the last time they made the playoffs? But, yeah, so it's pretty embarrassing. I honestly feel like if he was on another team, it would have been better. And my comparison with the Yankees, they made an amazing trade deadline. Let's just talk about them real quick. I think they're one of the winners. They might be, like, besides the Padres, probably the next best team to make moves. They got rid of Joey Gallo. They did that. I think they did that strictly for the fans, just to like spare the memes and the gifs and this and that and the tweets. They got rid of him. They got Frankie Montes from the Athletics, he was their ace. Very good pitcher. He's going to fit very nice with Cole, have a nice 5-game series in that first round. That's two games that you could definitely like stay in and possibly win. It's just not a gimme game. So I like that move. Andrew Benintendi, solid move. I mean, Hicks isn't cutting it in the outfield. Stan is hurt again. You need to have someone that'll be able to get on base, and you go put him in front of Stan when he comes back. Put him in front of Judge. Keep unloading, like, and he's hitting like 320 this year. You gotta get the right guys, and they got two of the best guys out there, so they're doing it right. Shout out to the Yankees for sure. I was surprised. I thought they were going to get more, to be honest. They're going to get Luis Castillo, too.
I thought they were going to get more, too.
Even for a second, at the very end, I thought they were going to get Juan Soto. And then I think they, like, a few hours before the deadline, they were like,
I would love to sit in one of those rooms for the call. Yeah. Like, what do you want? Just one day.
Yeah. I agree, because I'm always curious how these journalists get all this information, like John Heyman, Jeff Passan, all those guys. Like, how do they get all their information? Like, they're basically in those rooms too, without actually being in them.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think that's got to be a cool thing. I mean, so many things were happening. A lot of moves were made. A couple other big names got moved, but like Chuck said earlier, the Mets made very calculated moves. They shore up their DH spot. They didn't make any big moves, which a lot of Mets fans, myself included at first, until I really sat down and thought about it, was not the happiest. I didn't want them to make like a giant chemistry changing move, but I figured we get a nice, you know, a couple relievers maybe and a new DH spot. But DH is looking good so far. I'm not going to complain. We're going to ride with it. We also got able to keep all of our prospects, so I'm very happy.
He's from the Pirates, right?
And then Tyler Naquin is from the Reds, so
it was a good pickup as well. Has the other guy, Ruff,
Darren Ruff, I don't think he's played yet.
Yeah, I don't think he has either. The only thing I would have liked to see him from the Mets was to trade Dom Smith. I've been on this for a while. He doesn't fit the team. I think he deserves another chance somewhere else. I think it would be a trade that's worth it for both the team and the player.
Well, I'm just happy they didn't trade him for Eric Hosmer. Eric Hosmer has like $40 million left on his deal, and we already are dealing with the Cano aspect of that. I don't want to deal with another wasted contract. I know you kept saying you wanted that, and I'm just happy. I'd rather put Dom Smith back at AAA. Let him try to build some type of value so you could trade him in the offseason. That's unfortunately, that's what it's going to be. I think the reason why he didn't get traded is because, like, people don't see the value in him anymore. He hasn't hit a home run in over a year. in over a year. He hasn't hit a home run since DeGrom was back of last year. That's problematic, especially when you're a power hitter. Something is going on. So he has to stay in AAA, work on his game, and then unfortunately for him, he'll get moved and then maybe an everyday role. That's like the best case scenario, but I don't know. It's looking tough for him. But overall, trade deadline was as exciting as it usually is, and now we're getting into the it's like the true second half of the season now.
I think baseball's trade deadline has been getting more exciting each year. Because I honestly don't remember it being this interesting back in, like, even 2005, 2004. But now it's just, like, it's like the NBA free agency, sort of.
Like, yeah, it's true, because NBA trade deadline's nothing. Nothing really happens. But NBA free agency always goes crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's like that. But honestly, baseball free agency goes crazy too, man. Especially when you have like these big names, man, and they're just getting these ridiculous like 5-year, $8,000 trillion contracts, man. It's always interesting. So,
no, yeah, it is definitely.
This is the true second half of the season. We got 2 months left. Just see who's going to build that momentum heading into the playoffs. I'm excited.
Playoff baseball, let's go. There's nothing better than playoff baseball.
I like playoff
football.
Playoff hockey is good. I think playoffs in general are all really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all kind of equal.
I think on the bottom of that, though, is playoff basketball. I think finals basketball is better.
Well, but if you go with this playoffs, I mean, definitely the playoffs this year for NBA with so many blowouts every other game. I mean, it was shit.
Yeah,
I agree. Finals NBA, that's elite. Playoff hockey is elite.
Yeah,
that's the only time I actually truly watch. Where I'm like, let me just carve out some time to watch this. For sure, the NHL and baseball. I mean, I'm not missing a game. I just can't. Whether my team is in there or not, I'm
you're watching everything.
Everything.
There's a new format for baseball this year, right? Was it?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
What's the format? I knew what it was, but there was a change, but I don't know exactly what.
Do you know, Chuck? I don't know exactly yet either, to be honest. I was going to figure it out, you know, when it got to that point when we were closer to the playoffs. So I don't want to like learn it now. Then it's like, you know, all right, well, what team's gonna make what and all that. I'd rather learn it all at the end.
I think they were adding another team.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And then when you pick your opponent, are they doing that this year now?
Yeah, if they do the pick your opponent,
I think so.
That would be kind of spicy. Because think about it. Say you're the Mets, and you get to pick between the Braves or Washington.
Picking Washington.
No, and you pick Washington. As a Washington player, you're like, all right, it's going to make it interesting now. Now you have hatred. If you didn't have it before, you have it now.
Yeah, it's on my Derek Jeter shit right there. You guys been watching the captain? He had that little, you know, Michael Jordan attitude toward him.
I have not watched the captain yet, but
I'm a Met fan, but I've been liking the captain. It's been pretty good. I watched the first few episodes.
Derek Jeter does not like that.
How could you not like Derek Jeter?
I don't think I know anyone who, unless somebody like a Red Sox guy, I don't think anyone actually hates Derek Jeter. But he ain't like that. He's not like, he ain't Jordan-esque.
Yeah, in his competitiveness, it's like his desire to win. I don't know, man.
You gotta watch it.
And you put Derek Jeter on a different franchise, he would have been just a regular player, man.
Oh shit!
It's true.
Now you sound like A-Rod. A-Rod said the exact same thing,
mm-hmm. Bro. It's true. It's true in every sport. Look at Steph Curry.
Is real.
I saw something today that on Instagram. They said if you switch James Harden and Steph Curry spots with the same exact team and the same exact format and the same coach and everything, like Harden would have had the same amount of rings that Curry got, and Curry would have been like Harden. Whatever. It's like he's just like an over, you know, he just takes too many shots and does this over dribbles. They said he would have been the same. And honestly, no, I don't know if it was exactly.
No, it's not true.
But Steph Curry is a system guy. He's a superstar, yeah. He's a system guy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's a system guy, man.
Yeah.
He wasn't elite like this when Mark Jackson was there. He was getting there.
He was getting there.
But
then Kerr, they fired Mark Jackson.
But Kerr's scheme and everything, I don't know, man. I would love to see him on a different team to really test it out. But I think he's a system guy, to be honest with you. But that is what Curry's still amazing. Derek Jeter's still amazing. I'm just saying. You put Derek Jeter on, you know, the Minnesota Twins, he ain't doing. He might have the great seasons, but he ain't winning nothing.
It's true.
It says what it is. It just so happens to be that he's
like, he's like Nomar Garcia-Parra.
Nomar's in the documentary too.
Mm-hmm.
Is he?
Yeah, Nomar comes out for a bit. They got a lot of good people. They actually got Jordan to come out for a bit and talk too. So Jeter was the number 6 pick in his draft. The Astros, Indians, Expos, Orioles, and Reds all passed on him.
Who they pick? Anybody notable?
Phil Nevin went to the Astros with the 1 pick. He made a couple All-Star games. Paul Shuey was a pitcher for the Indians. He didn't do anything. BJ Wallace, pitcher for the Expos. Jeffrey Hammonds made a couple All-Star games for the Orioles. And Chad Motola, outfielder for the Reds. The Mets that year with the 9 pick took Preston Wilson.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Jason Kendall, Charles Johnson, and Johnny Damon all also went in that draft.
Yo, MLB draft is like the hardest fucking draft, man. Jacob DeGrom has 2 Cy Youngs, and he was a 9th round pick. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what you're gonna get. You get the first
NFL too.
NFL, yeah, but
look at Tom Brady. He was like what, 6th round?
Brady, another system guy too. That was luck. Dude got hurt. He got put in, made a couple of good plays, let him run with it. That's what it was. That doesn't happen. I mean, that doesn't happen often.
It never happened to. Who does that happen to? Jeremy Lin for like a hot 2 months?
Went undrafted, yeah. Made a whole career out of it. Yeah.
You know who else got drafted in that draft? In the 31st round? 2001 New York Knicks, Eric Strickland. Baseball drafts are weird.
I mean, you said the 31st round?
Yeah.
31st round of a draft is wild. That's how many rounds that Chuck wishes the NFL had.
I love the NFL draft.
Super Bowl probabilities.
I see it.
Oh, man.
The Bills are in front. 27.
Bills, wow. What do we think? NFL is starting tonight. Game 1 of the preseason. Jacksonville Jaguars against the Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, how did Tom Brady look like the youngest person in that graphic? He looked like the youngest person in that graphic. He was in the graphic of him, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Donald. He looked like the youngest person there.
And he was by far, I think, 20 years older than whoever.
He's got to be 20.
He's got to be 20 years older than Allen and Mahomes. Yes.
I mean, obviously, as a Bills fan, I hope this is true. Josh Allen's the go. Everyone knows I have been singing the praises for –
I just want to say how lucky you are to – I know you went to Bills games, but you weren't officially a Bills fan until just recently. And now you got like a quarterback who is going to dominate the league for a long time. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm not, look, you guys know me. I'm not a guy who goes with the hot hand. When I joined in.
No, you joined in before.
It was still the struggle. It was still the struggle. And now that's the squad right there.
It's kind of crazy because it's like
Josh wasn't even playing yet when I joined.
No, yeah.
He was just getting his reps in.
I think he got drafted that year when you got him, when you officially announced. And then when I picked my hat.
My draft hat.
And then Brady leaves New England.
It was takes a perfect Gronk
with him. It was like all set up. So
yeah. I mean, look, I think God knew that I've struggled enough. I've dealt with enough loss in my life. You know, the Mets have only made the playoffs, I think, in their franchise like 9 times. Mm. And
you needed a winner.
And the Knicks. And then, you know, I needed something to look forward to, or I was going to give up on sports altogether. So they were like, here's Josh Allen.
Welcome. Yeah, and another RIP to the Miami Dolphins. They just got fined by the NFL for the collusion.
Ooh.
It was nothing. It was just like a slap on the pinky.
I think they lost the first round pick, didn't they?
Wow, first rounder.
I mean, that's not nothing.
It's nothing. Listen, in the NFL, you don't know who's going to be good.
Well, you want to talk about
You want to talk slap on the wrist? You want to talk about slaps on butts and dick showing and whatever else he was doing? Deshaun Watson got a 6-game suspension, which he's apparently getting appealed.
Well, he's got to appeal it. He has.
I don't think he is. I think the NFL is appealing it, saying they want it to be longer. So I think it was an arbiter that decided this. Yeah, I'm looking up now. Yeah, it's the NFL that's appealing this.
They want it to be longer.
Yeah.
Ah, shout out to the NFL doing the right thing. Don't hear that often.
Well, I saw a picture today, and it had Deshaun Watson, 6-game suspension. It had Kareem Hunt, it was like 4-game suspension. And then it had, what's the guy's name from Cleveland? Jarvis Landry, who got caught with the marijuana in the system. And he had like a 10-game suspension or 12-game suspension. And then somebody else who...
Calvin Ridley from the Falcons, he bet $1,500 and got suspended the whole year.
The whole year. And it was like... So the NFL really cares about domestic violence or doesn't?
They pick and choose.
To get 12 games for marijuana being in your system.
But wasn't that not Landry's first offense, though?
But even though, I mean, I don't know. It might not have been. But it's still kind of crazy.
Why is there not a guideline for like things like this? Why is it case by case?
Because I think they just can't anticipate everything that can happen.
Yeah. It's the NFL. They've seen it all. They have the most criminals in all sports. I mean, this is...
Bro, I'm sure they got their own playbook for legal has their own playbook.
Like it should be situation. like if you drugs, 4 games. Sexual misconduct, a season, like whatever it is, a fine and a suspension, whatever it is, domestic, you know, there should be like set things. I feel like it's always a case by case. It's a matter of like the person, which,
yeah,
that's not, I mean, that's how, I guess that's how society works too. You know, it's a case by case. judges decide, you know, one thing for one person and one thing for another, it doesn't make any sense. But if this is an organization, this is a business, this is a company, NFL is a company, you know, they should be set like guidelines. You know, we go to work, if so we do something, there should be set guidelines for us. It shouldn't just be like
it's true.
It's
at the I'm with you.
At the end of the day, it's a job. It's work. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just do whatever.
But what my beef with the NFL is that if you're in an investigation for a crime, you shouldn't be allowed to sign with another team. Like, so Houston dropped him or whatever.
They traded him.
Yeah, they traded him.
But
crazy.
Same thing.
But he was looking to get traded anyway before this happened.
Well, he didn't play at all last year, so he's technically getting like a continued suspension type of deal. Look at it like that. It's almost like when they're like waiting for like their sentencing, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna add the time that you've already been waiting in jail, like on top of like your 7-year sentence. So you'll have to serve 5 more years." You know what I mean? Like, I think they're treating it like that. But if they're appealing it, that means they want more. I wonder if they'll get more. I don't know. Deshaun Watson, he's damaged goods, man. I don't know how he's gonna play.
Let me ask you a question. You picking him up on fantasy?
No.
You know?
He's not if he's not gonna play the first 6 games, there's other quarterbacks that could serve as
sleeper pick.
I know Dimitri's gonna pick. I'm gonna take him #1 overall just to piss you off.
Well, I guess you don't want to get another championship.
I'll be so mad if you do that, Chuck. I would be so mad. Please don't do that.
I'm not gonna take him.
He's trying to win another championship. You got the Chuck Dynasty over here.
Who's the Browns backup quarterback? Tyrod Taylor.
He's everyone's backup quarterback. He's on every team. Is it Casey Kent? Keenum? Is that?
No, it can't be.
No, Keenum's got to be retired.
Where did what's his name go? Baker. Where did Baker go?
The Panthers. Which is crazy because week one for the Panthers is against the Browns. So they have to play him.
Ooh, absolutely.
I know he's competing with Jacoby
Brissett. Jacoby. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yo, their fourth option, Josh Rosen. Wow.
Chosen Rosen. I love it.
How the mighty have fallen.
Chosen Rosen.
He probably still makes more money than most of the people on this team.
And they also have Joshua Dobbs. I like Joshua Dobbs. They have a decent quarterback room. They should get rid of Watson. This trade.
Yeah. Remember when Andrew Luck went down and like retired, and then the Colts were panicked and they gave Jacoby Brissett like $30 million? They was like, oh shit, we don't know what to do. They just gave him money and then he was like gone shortly after. I feel like the Browns, why would they even try to do this? This is a PR nightmare.
They Browns don't
are,
care.
The Browns I know, are a PR
I
nightmare.
I know, but I'm saying like.
Bro, they signed Kareem Hunt after he knocked his girlfriend out.
By the way, the Jacoby Brissett deal was 2 years, $30 million with $20 million guaranteed. Quote, a contract he negotiated himself because he doesn't like people to BS on his behalf.
I love that. You know what?
That's a good fucking contract he got for himself.
Well, he's going to have a good 6 games. I'll tell you that right now.
You think they did that through text messages?
And then, I don't know. This was,
and then the Browns said, $30 million, two-year $30 million, and he was like, "Okay."
smiley face.
He was like, "Man, I wasn't even supposed to play this year. I'll take whatever you're giving me." And Luck was gonna play the whole year. I just think it's. I mean, I know they don't care, but like, when did these franchises with these billionaire owners like sit down one day? It's like, let's have a winning franchise. Let's turn things around and look on the positive.
They're thinking like baseball. Like, Let's win on a minimalistic.
It's crazy, man. I wonder who's going to win that quarterback competition. See who's going to come up as QB1, Darnold or Mayfield. Both guys that are supposed to be, that were supposed to be good, and now they're competing for a starting quarterback spot. I wonder what's going to happen. I've been seeing the highlights. They both look pretty good in practices and stuff.
I think I got more money on it.
I think Mayfield for sure that first week just because it's against the Browns, but after that they might go Darnold. It might give Mayfield a couple games and then they'll switch over. What else do we got? What else we want to talk about? WNBA. I currently am in the championship in our fantasy league.
Who are you playing?
I don't know. It's who is this? This is, I'm going up against Florida WNBA Dream Team by Stephen Chase Hill. Does anyone know who that is?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going up against him.
That's not one of your friends?
No. I guess it's one of Demetrius.
Yeah, it's my friend.
Christopher or something.
Oh, that's my cousin. So I'm going up trying to have the perfect season.
Yeah, you've been having a good season.
I went 8-0 in the regular season.
First, is that in this?
Yeah. Yeah, Demetrius.
Is Demetrius team the 0-8 team?
No.
It's not 0-8 team, is it really?
I think it is.
Nah,
what is this on ESPN?
Yeah. Oh my! He's definitely the 0-8 team. He doesn't know what app we're on. Yeah, well, I thought I did good. Well, I was the second best, but I would lose every game to Aaron.
I mean, we got that first round playoff. We were going close. I mean, I only won by like 40 points. It was.
I know it was a tight match.
It was tight. So I'm trying to go for the perfect season. It's never been done. WNBA history, fantasy league. It's never been done. I went for the perfect season.
I hope you get it. That's awesome.
But we're really trying to. I mean, at least it seems like if we talk about it more, we're trying to get more into WNBA. We're trying to get more into the Liberty. I think our favorite player collectively is Sabrina Ionescu. Even though my actual favorite player is Kelsey Plum from the Vegas Aces, but she's the fucking truth, man. She's averaging 20 points a game this year. Go crazy.
You see the UConn girl tore her ACL? Paige Buckners?
Oh, she did?
She tore her ACL the other day, out for the year.
Wow. She was going to, you know, she's like projected first, she's like overall pick whenever her time was up.
Yep.
She's been like a star since like high school. I remember I saw her on like the Sports Center Next, which is like it's actually a nice page. If I don't know if you guys are really that active on Instagram, but Sports Center Next will show all like the upcoming like high school kids that are like, you know, phenoms. That's how I like kind of like see like the next basketball stars. There's a kid from the Bronx who actually goes to my high school, 6'6" junior, and he's apparently like number one in like New York State, and could possibly make it to the league, which would be crazy. So we'll see if how he translates over. But check that out if you haven't.
What's it called again?
Sports Center Next. It's just the next up generation of high schoolers, some college, even some like they show like little videos of like 8-year-olds just hitting half court threes and stuff. Like these kids are built different.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm going to definitely check it out.
We're trying to get into everything. So WNBA talk. We're coming down to the end of the season, so we're going to keep going, and maybe next year we'll get more in. We do want to mention
playoffs starting in a few weeks, right?
Yeah, in 2 weeks, playoffs start. You guys probably have all heard, if you don't watch WNBA, I'm sure you're very familiar with Brittany Griner. She was given 9 years in prison. I don't know what's happening with the trade-off that was suggested. I don't know if that's still happening. But I would have to believe that she's not going to be serving 9 years in a Russian prison. I feel like there's just no way. I don't think they're going to let this happen.
I don't think so either. I think ultimately they will find a sort of agreement. That's what countries tend to do with situations like this. It's going to be a tough one. It's going to take a lot of negotiating, and it's going to be a while. It's going to take some time. United States, you know, won't let it happen. Russia wants some prisoners released, one of whom's not even in an American prison system. He's in a German prison system, so I don't even understand that. I think the Americans need to take a strong approach here. You know, the Russians are asking us to release a arms dealer, essentially a war criminal, in exchange for a basketball player who had some weed, who may not even actually have had the weed. That's a different story. That's unreasonable. I think United States needs to play some hardball here. We got tough with Russia. We should be tough with this country for a long time now.
It's just hard because we're playing with someone who seems to be innocent. So we're playing with, like, doing it the right way versus she shouldn't even be in that situation. Get her back. So it's a tough, like, tightrope right mm-hmm. now. Because you want to do the right thing because it's do the right thing, and then on the other side you're like, I don't want to get rid of flop out these terrible criminals because mm-hmm. God knows what's going to happen. So it's tough.
Yeah, like, all right, let's say we arrested Alexander Ovechkin with some cocaine, and, you know, Vladimir Putin says, all right, we'll trade up Alexander Ovechkin and Brittany Griner, both minor drug charges. Okay, deal, fair, let's do it. But you're asking us to release a warmonger who's been supplying guns to terrorists and, you know, rebel groups all over the world. Like, come on now. You can't expect that.
I think this is preempted.
Oh, absolutely it was.
Yeah. Brittany Griner, bad. It's just wrong place, wrong time. I mean,
unfortunately,
Literally, like,
she probably did it the year before. She probably did it 2 years before. She did 3 years before.
Yeah, probably. They've probably been waiting to catch her.
No, I'm just saying they probably let her go through it mm-hmm. a bunch of times, and then, you know, listen, this is a high profile celeb.
Yeah.
So,
into a very sticky situation right now, the war going on in Ukraine and Russia being treated like an international pariah. Mm-hmm. I wish her the best. I wish that they could figure out something. I just don't have hopes of it happening anytime soon.
9 years is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oof. Crazy. Anything else you want to bring up before we wrap this this episode up?
So we had some European soccer coming back this weekend. I think all the major leagues are coming back. I know definitely the English Premier League is coming back. So that would be fun to watch. And we had SummerSlam last weekend. And we had a championship match with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Crazy.
Where Brock Lesnar took a tractor trailer and flipped the ring. But still lost. Still lost.
Yeah. It was a sick match. Go check it out. The rest of the pay-per-view was cool. It was whatever. But that match was pretty epic, I'm not gonna lie.
Was
fun,
it?
Yeah, fun from, I mean, I've never seen the ring like it wouldn't flip entirely.
It wasn't.
It was lifted off the ground, and then Roman Reigns got tumbled down. Tables were used, chairs, steel steps, the tractor trailer, everything was used. It's exactly what you want to see on a big main event of a big pay-per-view like SummerSlam.
It was entertaining.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Nicole didn't really watch much of it, of SummerSlam, and I was like, you got to watch this match, and she dug it. She was like, this match is sick. So if you haven't seen it, it's like 30 minutes. It's a long one.
Yeah.
Worth the watch, I will say, though.
Who won?
Reigns.
Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. Out of the table.
I think The Rock's just got to come back. That's the only one who's going to beat him now.
And then Roman's going to beat The Rock, man.
That's his family.
I know, that's exactly. The Rock's going to come in and be like, oh, you're the head of the table? Have you seen
Fast and
Furious 8?
Have you seen
the Tooth Fairy? Have you seen Moana?
Well, let's go through it. What's your favorite Rock movie? Let's end on that.
Ooh. I say Moana.
Well, I know that's Dimitri's.
No, it's not. Oh, man.
You want to go old school and say The Mummy?
He wasn't The Mummy in like a brief.
Oh, yeah.
Scorpion King. I have one if you want me to go first.
Not ready yet.
It's actually a sports movie, Gridiron Gang. That's my movie right there.
Gridiron Gang? Interesting. Okay.
That's all right. He had hair. That's when he had hair.
Yeah, but that's before he I mean, now he plays the same role every movie. He wears the same cargo pants and the Under Armour tight shirt.
The only thing that's
Skyscraper and Rampage were totally different movies.
Rampage is a good movie too.
Walking Tall.
Yeah, but he had hair there too. Does that mean he's disqualified? All right. Red Iron Gang is my favorite Rock with Hair movie. Now, Rock Without Hair movie. Oof.
You know, show I really liked by The Rock, Ballers.
I've heard.
I thought that was a great show.
Yeah, that's a good show.
I gotta watch that. I heard it's like Entourage, which I did.
Yeah.
Entourage,
similar. So yeah.
Let's see. What's my favorite Rock movie with hair?
With hair?
Yeah, with hair. Because I did a Gridiron Gang when he does. That's one that he has with hair. Without hair.
The Other Guys.
I like The Other Guys. He wasn't really in it though.
No, he wasn't. Game Plan was a great movie.
That's the one.
Oh, that is a good one. That's the one with when he has the girl, the daughter mm-hmm. that he didn't know, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Game Plan's dope.
I don't know. I think The Rock's hair and Scorpion Mummy 2 was the best.
What about Race to Witch Man?
Yeah, the worst Rock, a little bit. Yeah, you know, the worst Rock movie is Pain, Pain and Gain. It's the dumbest movie.
I've never seen Doom. He wasn't in Doom.
Not Dune. Doom.
Doom.
Oh, Doom.
Like of the video game.
Yeah.
That one's alright. I mean, he wasn't like a mega star yet, so he could make shit movies back then.
Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain was trash.
What was that about?
It's with him and Mark Wahlberg, and basically they're like these just gym bros, and Mark Wahlberg has an idea to like kidnap, I guess, I don't know if it's the gym owner. I think it is the gym owner, and like he forces him to like sign off his gym to them. But I think they accidentally kill him, and then they also then like you know Anthony Mackie's in it. He's like you know addicted to steroids. And like using them, and then The Rock's addicted to cocaine. It was a dumb, like the plot was all over the place. Like it was, I was watching it and I was like, this just doesn't make sense. So I don't like that. I would say my favorite.
Central Intelligence is a good one.
Central Intelligence is good.
I'll give you that.
Get Smart. It's good. I'm going through all the lists.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're on old school. I'm actually kind of looking forward to his new movie, Black Adam.
Black Adam, yeah. You know what? I'm going to just stick with the Gridiron Gang. Screw it. I like that movie. I dig it. Exhibit was in it.
I wasn't expecting us to end the podcast on my Gridiron Gang, but I'm not mad.
I mean, you guys didn't give me anything else what your favorite one was. I got judged immediately when I said my... All right, Moana's
yours. Yours is Moana?
Yep. Sticking to it. Him and Troy Polamalu.
He had a voice.
Troy Polamalu was in it.
He had a voiceover in Juan?
Yeah. He was one of the villagers.
He was Villager 6.
I don't know which one, but Troy Polamalu was in it.
Joking.
Yo, too bad it wasn't like a live action.
Close, Villager 1.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Too bad he was. It wasn't a live action. I mean, he had the perfect hair for it. I mean, he was ready to go. Head and shoulders.
Trey? Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Perfect. Definitely. Head and shoulders all the way.
Definitely. Shout out Head and Shoulders. We're always looking for sponsors. You can find us on social media. What's the call? What's the call pod? What's the call podcast? Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Google. Just Google us. What's the call podcast?
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. You heard our call. Let's go.